to deliver for multinational corporations. Final passage Wednesday is all but assured, since just 51 votes are needed. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders called it a great day for the big money interests, not a great day for working families. Public Citizens Global Trade Watch says that vote means the final version of the Trans-Pacific Partnership will likely include provisions empowering foreign corporations to sue our own government for policies they claim impinge on their expected future profits. That effectively takes away the power of American voters to decide public policy, giving multinational corporations a trump card that amounts to a super bill of rights for corporations to rule over people. National Nurses United says the Senate TPP vote also puts public health at risk. The Nurses Union says the TPP vote means life-saving medications and food safety are less important than the profits of the wealthiest corporations in the world. That's because, according to National Nurses United, TPP Fast Track would allow giant pharmaceutical corporations lengthy extensions of monopoly control for high-priced brand-name drugs and the ability to block access to cheaper generic drugs that can mean life and death for low- and moderate-income patients. The Labor Community Coalition Raise Chicago Tuesday delivered a pop-up preschool lesson on raising the minimum wage. Childcare teachers, workers, and the kids themselves took part in the public minimum wage lesson on what $15 means to Chicago working families. On July 1st, Chicago's minimum wage is rising to $10. Raise Chicago is pushing for a $15 minimum. Tuesday's action highlighted chronically underpaid childcare workers. The Center for Media and Democracy has created just the web resource you need to ID the corporations, trade associations, think tanks, and front groups working hard against higher wages and better benefits. The website is wagecrushers.org. The Center for Media and Democracy says the wage crushers are doubling down on a range of efforts to hold down wages and disempower working people.
You never fought for anything in your life. Fight for this living wage so that the kids of our future can have a way that we didn't have.
Wynn would like to improve and expand our coverage of the low-wage worker movement and the fight for 15 as America's workers fight to raise the wage. For more information on our efforts, go to Indiegogo.com and search Raise the Wage.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Privacy campaigners and open source developers have begun an outcry over an eavesdropping tool being automatically loaded onto computers. The open source version of Google's Chrome web browser, Chromium, has been found to be installing a listening program ostensibly designed to support the OK Google verbal hot word detection service. Users are able to speak their commands to their computer, much like Apple's Siri program, to make it perform certain functions. The program, however, has been found to be installing the software without instructions from users. The software can then be used to initiate secret eavesdropping of those users. In a worst-case scenario, keywords programmed by a corporate entity could be used to trigger the listening hardware to activate and then send that information in the form of real-time listening to an unaccountable and secret listener. Google admits that the software is preloaded, but that it is not activated until expressly told to do so by users. Advocates for privacy say this is not always the case, and that specifically opting out may be required of users.
A survey of 47 international women's rights groups from more than 20 countries has found an increase in the number of women worldwide who feel unsafe. The study found that over 60% of women said they felt less safe at their work than they did 2 years ago. According to the report, governments around the world have ignored violations of the law, cut funding to women's groups, and some have even used violence and intimidation to thwart women's efforts to push for change.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jimmy Tardy, Catherine Matichek, and Ryan Stoyer. The producer is Galen Sanford. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenkins Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you would like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard about on the news tonight, here are their numbers, so grab something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO in Portland on 90.7 FM, on K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Joanne Hardesty hosts Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, News You're Not Supposed to Know. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, Portland writer Polly Dugan talks about her new novel, The Sweetheart Deal, the story of what happens when a woman who thinks she's lost everything has the chance to love again. And at 11:30 on The Film Show, avant-garde filmmaker Robert McGinley talks about his films Shredder Orpheus and Orpheus and Eurydice. Local animation trailblazer Rose Bond talks about the PNCA Summer Intensive Program Boundary Crossing, and Josh Leake shares highlights of the upcoming Portland Film Festival. Thanks, KBOO members, for your supporting your community radio station. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Coming up next, there will be no news from the BOO this week. Instead, we'll bring you KBOO News in depth.
Walter, you're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure.
Joining me now by phone from Democracy for America, we've got Jim Dean. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Charles, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Still have a few glimmers of hope about TPP and the fast track and all that. Yep. And hoping we can, you know, catch that thing in a corner and step on it like a cockroach.
Well, I'm with you on that one. And you know, I think we're going to see something. I'm not sure what it's going to look like or when it's coming, but I know that this treaty has to be made public sometime. We think in August or September after these supposed negotiations are going on.
Right.
Once it's public, I think a lot of stuff is going to come out there, particularly on this investor settlement dispute mechanism. I mean, I think it's really going to become apparent that local, state, and even the federal government are vulnerable to these lawsuits and these secret tribunals. And that, you know, the laws that we have to help workers and consumers, we can be fined for that, for having those laws. And I think once that happens, you're going to see some serious outcry. I think the presidential candidates could very well be under a lot of pressure to come out against a provision like this. Notwithstanding some of the other things that that are in there, and you know, it's, well, we may have a shot. I'm sure the administration would like this thing to come out in August and bury it and hope nobody pays attention, but I don't think they're going to get that. I think that we're going to have a chance to debate this a little bit, and we may get another shot at putting this down for once and for all.
Jim, forgive me for my ignorance, but is there going to be a comment period like legislation on this?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how this goes. What I know is, or what I've read is that, you know, this treaty still has to be negotiated with 11 other countries.
Right.
And then it is essentially made public, meaning that it has to go to the Senate for approval, but there's going to have to be a 2-month period where people can read it. I haven't read anything about a comment period. But honestly, when it gets out into the press, what's really in this agreement, which was what we've been talking about all along, I think you're going to see some senators get out there and say, this is unacceptable. And I think you're going to see some senators who voted for this, including Democrats, really put in a bind about whether they can go along with an agreement that gives so much corporate power to corporations, and an agreement that really forces almost equivalency with labor standards in places like Malaysia and Vietnam. I think that's going to be a very, very tough sell. And I think given the fact that we have a big election year coming up next year, and obviously the fall is sort of the lead into that, we may have a very different climate than we do right now. I mean, this what's been happened here is that this thing has just barely passed, thanks to a lot of phone calls from probably a lot of folks who are listening to this program, a lot of activism out there that really kept this treaty at bay, kept this agreement at bay, kept Fast Track at bay, and it was only because the administration and the Republicans did a bunch of legislative convoluting that they were able to get this thing through. And now that we're about to see what the real provisions of this agreement are, I don't think the American people are going to buy into it, and I don't think there's going to be a presidential candidate around that wants to buy into it either.
Jim, let me ask you a question. I mean, are we seeing a much higher rate of activism around Fast Track and the TPP than we saw around other trade deals? Are people, I mean, have people, in your opinion, come to the realization that this is not helping and, you know, we got to do something about it?
Oh, absolutely, Charles. You can look at me as an example of this. Count me as somebody who was pretty much asleep at the switch when NAFTA came down the pike back in the 1990s. I was in a private sector job and wasn't paying attention. But what's happened to this country economically since then, the fact that we are the most economically divided country in the world right now, and everybody knows it. Everybody feels that. This is not just a statistic. That really forces people to take a look at this agreement where they otherwise would not. The whole business of corporations getting away with the kind of swindling that's gone on Wall Street, being bailed out and all of this stuff and nobody losing their jobs, all these CEOs still getting paid for, frankly, doing not just a horrible job, but violating the fiduciary duty that they have to their shareholders. People are looking at corporations and saying maybe what's good for big business isn't really good for America. And so that is something else that's leading people to pay greater attention to agreements like these. And then there is the whole issue of human trafficking and the awareness that's come up on some of the slave labor conditions in these Chinese factories that were making products for Apple, other companies that were, you know, Nike, of course, having their products made really by slave labor, or prison labor. And I think that's something that's moved forward. A lot has changed since the 1990s. And this electorate understands that there are some implications here. And I think we can harness that as we have over the last 4 to 5 weeks. But for now, I think, we need to be prepared. And that's the most important thing. We need to be paying attention and we need to be ready to take action. Because when this treaty does hit the public, that's when we're going to need to be in there and talking to our family, friends, and neighbors and getting back to those calls again. Because by then, Bill folks in Congress are going to be a lot more sensitive to those calls as the election starts to loom a little bit closer.
Right. And Jim, as we're moving, between now and the time we can actually see what's going on, how should we prepare between now and then?
Well, I think, I know WikiLeaks has got some stuff out right now on some of the provisions of the treaty. But again, understanding that agreement, knowledge is always power. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that I don't think it's a bad idea to let some of these turncoat Democrats, 13 of them in the Senate and 28 of them in the House, know of your displeasure. And conversely, I especially think it's a great time right now to thank those Democrats that have stood up. And some of them switched their votes, and they need to know that we have their back on this. I mean, that is always very, very important. It's something that often gets overlooked, and we really need to make sure that we've got that relationship and we're developing that further and making sure that they know there's a grassroots group that's going to have their back if they're willing to stand up against this kind of corporate takeover.
Absolutely. Jim, how do we find out more about you and what you do?
You can always go to democracyforamerica.com. We got a little info there about the training program and about a bunch of candidates we're supporting all over the country this year and actions that we're taking, especially on TPP and Fast Track. But also so a lot of other important issues of our time. So a lot of good folks doing a lot of great work, and really very grateful for that.
Absolutely. Jim, we thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Charles. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Jim Dean of Democracy for America. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk.
Free traders and traitors, bankers and thieves are at it once again. WTO just didn't cut it, so now there's no telling when they'll pass this latest treaty from behind closed doors and win another battle in the transnational class wars. They want fast-track authority so they can get the job done right, by which they mean no discussion, don't even pretend to put up a fight. As they take from us our government's ability to regulate what happens within the borders of what they used to call the state, and what they used to call democracy, the idea that people have a say in whether we should be building windmills or fracking our lives away, whether banking regulations are a good idea or not, whether the food on your kitchen table comes from a Monsanto plot, whether the poor should die or have affordable medication, whether human life is less important than your corporation, whether this world is a commons or just a free trade bill that we need about as much as we need another oil spill. So let's do like we do in the WC and flush the TPP. They say it'll help the economy, and they've said it all before, like when they implemented NAFTA in 1994. The U.S. lost 1 million jobs. Of this there is